Welcome to Creative Warriors, a community of purpose-driven entrepreneurs, creative thinkers in business doing what we are meant to do. I'm your host, Jeffrey Shaw. Well, hello everyone. I am really excited today to have two fantastic authors joining us. They are the authors of a book called It's the Landing That Counts, Finding Peace, Happiness, and Prosperity When Your Life Falls Apart. Really moving, wonderful book. So I'm really excited to welcome Warren Broad and Margot McAuliffe. Welcome, guys.
Thanks, Jeffrey. It's great to be here.
Nice to meet you, Jeff.
All right, terrific. So let me tell everyone a little bit about your backgrounds before we get into the really juicy stuff about the book. So Warren is a clinical hypnotherapist, life coach, and addiction specialist. Warren's education is extensive, holding multiple diplomas in adult psychology, clinical hypnosis, an honors diploma in addictions counseling, and a certified coach. Warren is also the creator of the Recovery in the Now program, a coaching and support program for those suffering with addictions and compulsions. Margot is the president of Oliver Capital Partners, a company she founded in 2003 to invest in private companies looking for expansion capital. Since its inception, Oliver Capital Partners has directly and indirectly invested in a number of diverse businesses, including broadcasting, publishing, food manufacturing, real estate, and manages the franchise development rights for a number of well-known quick service restaurant brands, such as Subway and Taco Del Mar. So we are really fortunate to have these two amazing experts here to show us how to get unstuck and recover. So I welcome both of you. And as we begin, I'd like to ask a couple questions of all my guests. So Warren, tell us something about who you are, not what you do. Something that I didn't say on your bio so that we can connect with you personally.
Well, I appreciate that, Jeff. I consider myself a family man. I am married and I have an 11-year-old son. Enjoy working out and I'm a big tennis fan. And I'm also involved in a fair number of local rescue organizations for animals, and I have three rescued dogs myself, and I really consider myself a family-oriented man and enjoy spending time in the woods, hiking, and doing those types of activities.
Awesome. And Margot, how about you? How about your share?
Well, I'm a mom as well, and I always say that it's the favorite job that I have in the world, and my son is now my business partner, which is really tremendous. I would say that the one thing that people don't know about me, and I always have to tell them, is that, you know, although I come across as being exceedingly confident, and even though in 2011 I was named as one of Canada's top 100 most powerful women, I get nervous and I get insecure and I question myself just like everybody else does. And I find that when people hear that coming from me, they do take a step back and think, oh, well, maybe, you know, I too can achieve the things that Margot has achieved. Maybe that's not so far-fetched. And so I like to tell everybody that, because I know I come across really confidently, but deep down inside, there's the same thing that everybody else is feeling that I'm feeling.
That's brilliant. It's also, it's just a very generous share too, to let people know that you feel just like they do. And you share a lot in the book, which is fabulous. So, I would love to hear from each of you what a best piece of advice you ever received, a meaningful quote, or a favorite book that you would offer to us and that would inspire us, and why.
Well, I'd like to start with a quote that my dad gave me years ago. And when I was younger, I didn't understand it. And of course, as I got older, I understood the full meaning of it. He used to say to me that discipline is freedom. And it sounds counterintuitive, because discipline sounds like you're shackled to something, to some form of behavior. But how he explained it, and I think it's relevant to the teachings in the book, is that if you can force yourself to do the things that you say you want to do, then you will accomplish everything you want to accomplish in life. If you become a slave to circumstances, to other people, to your feelings, to the vagaries of what might come in and out of your life that might motivate you to do something or not, then you will never accomplish what you want to accomplish. So in order to have the freedom to do everything you want to do, you have to have the discipline to hold yourself accountable to it.
Brilliant. Love that. And Warren, what would you like to share?
Well, I would say my favorite book is Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now, which is the basis for a lot of the content that is in my addictions and compulsive behavior recovery program and why it is called Recovery in the Now. And I would say one of my favorite quotes that Eckhart Tolle speaks to quite regularly is that true intelligence operates silently. Stillness is where creativity and solutions to problems are found. And the reason that that has such power for me is when individuals are wrapped up in addictions or compulsive behaviors or depression or anxiety, what they really lack is stillness. Stillness within their activities and stillness within their minds.
Love that. That's brilliant. So if I may, I'd like to read from the back of the book because I found this really moving. So this is what one would find on the back of the book. The title is, It's the Landing That Counts. And on the back of the book, you say, have you been punched in the face emotionally, spiritually, financially? Is your life out of control? Does it feel like it's falling apart? What if you could move from uncertainty, shock, and pain to peace, happiness, and prosperity? What if you could move from free-falling to landing firmly on your feet, able to handle whatever life throws at you? So those are some big statements. And of course, I know everyone can identify with those feelings at some point in their life, right? So what would you say the book is about recovery, or how would you summarize those really dramatic symptoms, if you will, that I'm sure a lot of people can identify with?
It's exactly about recovery. It's really about resiliency. You know, a lot of people are afraid to actually take the first step to move forward in their life to achieve what it is that they want to achieve because they're so afraid of failing. They're so afraid of falling. And what we try to teach in the book is that it's not about falling. It's about standing up again. It's about landing, and it's about continuing the journey, perhaps in a different way. So, you know, the quotes in there about have you ever been punched in the face really stem from a quote that we start with, which is everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. And that came from Mike Tyson. And, you know, we do have a path. We see ourselves going down. Getting punched in the face knocks us off track. We teach you how to get back on track.
So I have a question then, that because the reason I asked that question is as I read the book, I was uncertain. Was it a book about recovery or resiliency? And is there a difference?
I would say there isn't really a difference, but I'm going to defer to Warren because I hear the word recovery being used more in the context of addiction as opposed to corporate or emotional failures. In my mind, there's not a difference, but I'd be interested to hear what Warren says.
I to speak to that, I think that they don't need to live in isolation in any way. Recovery requires resilience, whether that is emotional recovery out of a depression or out of a life event, and for sure resiliency is required to a very high degree to overcome any kind of addiction or compulsive behavior. So I really don't think that they need to live in separate worlds by any means. And a lot of what we teach through the process of the book allows individuals to increase their sense of resiliency.
That's really well said. So, Warren, as an addiction specialist, in what ways is recovering from life's hard knocks similar to recovering from an addiction, or isn't it?
Well, it what we point to on a regular basis through the book is that one of the biggest things that all individuals need to overcome in any form of adversity, whether it is recovery out of addiction or whether it's recovery out of a life situation or depression or anxiety, is that we have to become aware of our internal dialogue. And we make reference to this in many different areas through the book, that becoming aware of internal dialogue, whether that internal dialogue is related to a specific life event or whether it's more personality oriented, that this is the biggest challenge for any individual. And it really doesn't matter directly what they're recovering out of, because all of it will include internal dialogue of some kind.
Awesome. Okay. So now, Margo, not having a background in psychology or recovery, what inspired you to co-author the book?
Well, I actually do have a degree in psychology. It's an undergraduate degree, which probably doesn't mean very much in the eyes of someone as well-educated as Warren or other psychologists out there. But I've always been interested in the subject of what makes people tick. And in particular, what I'm interested in is always helping people be the best they can be. And that was just something that I was born with. When I was younger, I used to encourage people to succeed. I used to believe in them before they believed in themselves. I used to hold them up as, you know, able to accomplish the dreams that they had. And I just did that, you know, out of friendship. When I got fired from a very high-paying, very high-profile job about, 12 or 13 years ago, and it really was a very disturbing incident for me. I had never failed in that manner before. And so I of course recovered, and I became an entrepreneur, and I succeeded, you know, wildly and beyond anyone, including my expectations. But I remember the pain I went through as I was going through the termination process, and how people turned away from me, you know, people that I had elevated to positions that they held within the company, people outside of the company that I had brought into the company as consultants or advisors, and who were benefiting quite substantially by the position that I held. You know, people that I believed in and held up all of a sudden abandoned me when, you know, I lost my job. And it was an extremely painful process. And so I got the idea of writing a book about 12 years ago, wanting to help people understand the process and how they too could recover from it. And then it evolved quite a bit, you know, over the years as I did more things and as I realized that, you know, being fired from a job is just one thing that can go wrong in one's life. It's not, you know, the worst thing that can go wrong in one's life. And it really is just an example of something where you can recover. And then since then, I lost my sister. She passed away. I, you know, lost relationships that were very meaningful to me. And all of those things really had similar patterns. And what I learned from those is that I could draw from the experience that I had from a previous fall to get myself back up again and to move forward. And life is all about moving forward. So I wanted to share that with other people and touch as many people as I could with that story. And then meeting Warren really was the missing piece that allowed me to move forward on that dream.
Fantastic. Because I will say, the two of you together are just an ideal combination, because Warren brings so much technical know-how, education to the process. But Margo, you're so generous in the book and how you share your falls, your various falls, firing from a job, loss of relationships, loss of your sister, and all of which are relatable to a lot of people. Not everyone has encountered all of those lined up as you did, but I found that your personal story sharing was really really meaningful and impactful. And on behalf of the people that read the book, I thank you for your vulnerability in sharing that. I think it's very powerful.
Thank you. It's consistent with my desire to help people and to use myself as an example, you know, for people to learn from. So I'm pleased that you appreciated my openness, and I was glad to be open.
Great. Well, one of the things I love is that the book sort of lays out steps to go from free fall to landing firmly on your feet. So can we go through each of the steps, if you will, and have you explain the essence of each? I think that would be very valuable for our community.
Sure. So I'll start with the face phenomenon, which is really the basis of the book, and Warren will jump in as I take a breather and he sees fit. The face phenomenon is very difficult to explain in words. It's one of those visceral things that, you know, we really feel an awareness or a knowing, and I'm sure that everyone has experienced that at some point in their life, when you just absolutely know something to be the case before it actually materializes in front of you. And that knowing, that certainty, that belief in at a visceral level is what the face phenomenon is all about. So what we do is actually teach you how to invoke the face phenomenon as the foundation to your life. And the face phenomenon is about knowing that the outcome, whatever it will be one that is positive for you. In some circumstances, you might know what the outcome you are looking for, in which case you drive towards that outcome with that real sense of knowing you're going to achieve that outcome. In other circumstances, you don't know what the outcome is going to be. It's a little bit more difficult to drive to a positive outcome, but you just have to keep reminding yourself that the outcome will be positive no matter what.
Right. One of the things I loved is that I felt you made a distinction between the differences between positive thinking, faith, and really kind of brought it together with, like you said, the sense of knowing. It's knowing what the outcome will be is even different than positive thinking and even different than faith. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. And it's difficult to explain. You know, it's really something people have to understand at that visceral emotional level. And we do have meditations and hypnotic meditations in particular that will help people get to that space where they'll truly understand it. But it's a little bit about letting go of the cognitive side of us that wants to control all of our decision making and all of our awareness, standing back and letting ourselves feel this knowledge and feel this understanding. And positive thinking tends to be stuck at the cognitive level, whereas the faith phenomenon is at that visceral level. It's that absolute knowing without certainty in something. And when somebody asks you, how is it that you know, you usually don't know how you know, you just know.
No, exactly. So, and Warren, you had touched on a little earlier what I thought would be kind of the next step, and it's a big chapter and an important step, is turning down the internal dialogue, particularly the negative self-talk. This was very powerful. So I'm going to read one section from the book, because it's in the book you refer to many rags to riches stories that we hear about, we know about, celebrity stories, things like that. It's a kind of a typical success story. And here's what you have to say about it, or you had to write about it in the book. Many of the real life heroes in these stories used their negative self-talk to reach success. It drove them to work hard to prove themselves. But once they reached the pinnacle, their negative self-talk tore apart their success brick by brick. That's very powerful. So tell us more about internal dialogue and turning that down.
Well, one of the first processes in beginning to understand internal dialogue is a process that I take many of my clients through, which is actually writing down what is going on inside an individual's mind. That we all know that there's a voice in there, and that voice in there has often very negative things to say, which can come from childhood issues or teachers. I mean, it can come from all different sources, and it can manifest. It's not just internal dialogue is not just created in childhood, and this is one of the things that we do see with, you know, often with those that are quite successful, is that the negative internal dialogue that shows up in them could show up really at any point in their lives. So first it's a recognition that the dialogue exists, then an actual cognitive process of writing those statements down. And I have always found in the process of taking what is in our mind, our thoughts are generally circular by nature, especially negative thinking is circular by nature. So it'll start with an initial thought, and then it grabs some other thoughts, and then you end up with this sort of circle going around in your mind. And the process of writing those thoughts down actually shifts them from being circular to being linear. Is that when we write something down, all sentences start with a capital and end with a period. So you're actually shifting the way that the mind is thinking, that taking it from that circular pattern to a very linear pattern, and then being able to recognize that and install new thinking deliberately in response to what the mind may have to say. So if the mind is saying something like, I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat, then we have to recognize that it's saying that, and then there needs to be an affirmation in there, a positive affirmation in there that we can grab onto, and that we can also use part of the faith phenomenon to join in with that of, well, I may be heavy right now, but I'm moving towards this next goal.
Interesting. And part of that process, you speak a lot about visualization, particularly hypnotic meditation. So why does visualization work?
Well, visualization works because it creates a pathway within the mind. Our mind really does not know the difference between something that we imagine and something that has occurred. So when, for example, professional athletes, when they are about to enter into the sport that they're involved in, will always visualize their outcome. And they visualize their outcome generally as, you know, getting a gold medal or scoring the goal or doing whatever is required for them to excel at their sport. And, for example, skiers will walk the hill before they ski the hill. And this actually sets up a pathway within the mind. And so visualization is incredibly important because without that, we're not really giving our mind anything to go on. It doesn't know what it's supposed to work towards. So when we want that promotion in our job, or we want to get back, let's say, the happiness that we used to have at an earlier part in our lives, or perhaps it's entirely new, we need to be able to visualize how that manifests. What does it look like to be happy? You know, because the mind doesn't know on its own. And when we do this in conjunction with the meditative state, it actually has a far larger imprint on the mind. And that, in my clinical hypnosis practice, that is the aim of most clinical hypnosis, is to give somebody an experience of something before it's happened.
Well said. Now, and one of the things I love about the book is that you stress the importance of taking action. And Margo, you alluded to this in that very important quote from your dad, because it's so difficult to be motivated to take action when you're feeling stuck in the mud of life. So what are some things someone can do to get started on the path to getting unstuck?
Well, taking action is the complete opposite of victimization and victimhood. So victimhood is when everything acts upon you and you are just basically a blob absorbing all of these things that are happening to you, feeling powerless to do anything about it. Taking action allows you to start to control your destiny. One of my favorite, and I think one of the most important things that people can do, is exercise. So if you think about it, there's many, many things that flow from exercise. The first thing is it's completely within our control. So an exercise doesn't have to be, you know, lifting heavy weights or running a marathon. Exercise can be walking, it could be jogging, it could be bike riding, it could be any of the activities that we did as children. And so we start to actually mentally take control of our life by standing up and just walking out the door and saying, I'm going to walk around the block, or I'm going to go for a 10-mile walk, or I'm going to walk for 20 minutes. We're taking action, we're making a decision, and we're fulfilling the intent of what we said we were going to do. We also start to release endorphins. Endorphins are the happy hormone in our body. It's released in our brain. It makes us feel good. It makes us feel powerful. It's the most inexpensive and most effective way to start to feel positive about life again. And then we have the physical attribute. We start to feel good physically. And if we stay consistently with our exercise program, we do start to get stronger. We do start to feel better. We do start to feel fitter. We start to feel healthier. And so then we're attacking our situation on a mental, physical, and emotional level. And we can start to feel good about what's happening. And we can start to feel that we can take action to move forward. And that fits in very well with everything that Warren has said about visualization, because now we start to believe that what we have been wanting and visualizing and hoping for can actually be accomplished, because we've taught ourselves how to take action and how to realize that it is within our control.
The other kind of the next step, if you will, something I thought was really poignant in the book, is you kind of coined this phrase, resisting the retreat, which I thought was really kind of fascinating. And as a business coach myself, had a lot of value to it, because when people are in the process of transformation, they can often get frustrated feeling like they're doing all this work and they're not getting anywhere, that nothing has changed. So can you talk a little bit about that essence of resisting the retreat and what to do with it?
Yeah, so the first thing to understand is that as we move forward, it's never a straight line, it's a jagged line, and we're going to have ups and downs, and that's just the reality of life. You know, nothing is perfect, and if it was, we wouldn't know what to do with ourselves. So resisting the retreat is not to get downtrodden, not to feel defeated, not to fall back into that victimhood because we've hit a small downward patch. And the downward patch sometimes might be, you know, a significant downward patch. Sometimes it might just be a small blip. But the idea of resisting the retreat is continuing to believe in the faith phenomenon, continuing to visualize, continuing to take action, and realizing that that's just a momentary glitch in our steps forward into our pathway to success.
Do you think there's people refer to it as testing, the universe is testing me, different phrases. There seems to me there's almost a benefit in that stepping backwards, showing up, because it causes you to honor your commitment. Do you think there's any truth to that, or what do you think is really going on there?
No, I think you absolutely are correct. In my mind, it's like if you think about walking up the stairs, and it's a very steep climb, and you get to a particular spot, and you might step back a little bit to gain your breath, and you recover, and you might even stop and look around and see that you've climbed a fair number of stairs, and you realize, yes, I've got a long way still to go, but look at the view from here, and oh my God, isn't going to be better when I get to the very top. So it's an opportunity to regroup, take a deep breath, and know that you've accomplished something, and you're going to accomplish the next step. I know when I run, I'm a runner, and sometimes if I'm running up a hill or even bike riding up a hill, I break my goal into small chunks, and it may be very, very difficult at some point, and I just say to myself, I just want to get to that tree ahead of me. And then when I get to that tree, I just say, I just want to get to that driveway ahead of me, and I get to that driveway. And so I break it down, and it might get really, really hard, and I might even stop and take a pause and take a breath, and then move forward again. But it's the opportunity to regroup, pat myself on the back that I have done what I have done, acknowledge that there's more to be done, but also then say to myself, I know I can do it because I've done it this much.
That's awesome. I love the reframe of that. Like, instead of it being a step backwards, that's an opportunity to catch your breath and observe and congratulate yourself for what you've done. What a wonderful, positive reframe of that.
Just to speak to that for 1 sec as well, that's really something that a very small amount of the population actually does, is that when that pause comes, it's very important to remain proactive in that spot of sponsoring your positive talk that, okay, I'm taking this pause. It's not that I've lost steam or I've lost my desire. It's simply that I require a moment here to pause, internalize my growth, and continue to move forward. But what so much of the population does is they hit that pause or they hit that challenge, and they begin to either listen to negative internal talk or they start to question their goals. And it's very, very important at that point to really be proactive in, no, I'm just pausing here, and I'm prepared to continue going.
That's awesome. So, and then in the book, you speak about gratitude. And I have always found it interesting that as I interview people for Creative Warriors, how often gratitude comes up as one of the most powerful things in their lives. So that being grateful can change their entire perspective. And I like that you speak about gratitude being passive and active. And I had never heard that before. And I think it's what a lot of people miss. I mean, a lot of people, I think that you either have gratitude or you don't, that it's either who you are or you're not a grateful person. And you see it as a practice. And again, I love this idea of passive gratitude and active gratitude. So tell us more about that.
Well, the idea behind active gratitude is that you actually live in a state of gratitude, and you do things to put yourself in that state of gratitude. So we all experience passive gratitude. You know, somebody hands us a cup of coffee, we say thank you. We feel momentary gratitude for what they've done for us. You know, we might walk out the door and, you know, feel grateful that we've been able to go to this party or this trip or whatever it is. But those are things, moments that befall us, that happen to us. And what we like to advocate is to be actively in the state of gratitude. So we first start by suggesting that people have a gratitude journal, and that they maintain a gratitude journal and write in their gratitude journal every single day. And what I like to do is I like to write down three things in my gratitude journal that I'm grateful for that happened in the last 24 hours, and they are different from the last three things I wrote, so that I'm constantly looking for things that I'm grateful for. And in looking for things that I'm grateful for, I find more things that I can be grateful for. And if you live in that state of gratitude, it's impossible to be unhappy. It's impossible to be a victim. It's impossible to be in a state of longing, because what you're doing is appreciating the things that are already in your life and realizing how blessed you are. And if you realize how blessed you are, then you realize that you can accomplish the vision that you have for your life.
Fantastic. And like I said, I mean, I have found it very interesting what a common thread that is amongst the successful authors and entrepreneurs that I have on my program. So that's fantastic. So, and then there's the landing. It's the landing that counts. You chose to title the book this way. So what does It's the Landing That Counts mean to each of you? And what can it mean for our community of creative warriors?
Well, how we came to the title, It's the Landing That Counts, is actually quite funny. When I lost my job, I was quite devastated, as I said at the beginning, but I started working my way through to recovery and looking for what I was going to do next with my life, and, you know, decided to become an entrepreneur and all of that. And I was doing quite well after several months of working towards recovering. And a friend of mine who I had worked with, a former colleague, approached a close girlfriend of mine and said to her and asked her, how is Margot doing? You know, meaning in light of this horrible, dismissal that she's suffered. And my friend looked at my former colleague and said, are you kidding? Margot's landed in high heels. And that visual of me landing in high heels, you know, from a fall has always stuck with me. And I thought to myself, you know, I did land, and that's really all that matters. What I went through in between was a learning process. It allows me to realize that I've got the chutzpah, I've got the ability to recover from other falls, and it makes me less afraid to fall because I know I'm going to be okay no matter what. So in my mind, what it means to your community of warriors is that they ought not to be afraid, or if they are afraid, take the fall anyways, because you're going to land well if you know how to land, and you live by taking risk. Life is not about staying stagnant. It's not about taking the easy route. It's not about being passive. Life is about embracing challenges. Life is about being bold. Life is about being a warrior. And you can't be any of those things if you're afraid to fall. So don't be afraid to fall, because it's the landing that counts.
That's brilliant. I love landing in high heels. That's fantastic. And thank you for really identifying the essence and meaning behind warriors, which is why I named my program Creative Warriors, because it does take a warrior spirit, particularly as an entrepreneur, to really, you know, make it through life. So thank you for tying that in. So in a moment, I'm going to ask each of you our discovery round questions. So while you're preparing yourself for these thought-provoking questions, we're going to hear a bit about our friend Business Buddy, and then we'll be right back.
Let's face it, being an entrepreneur can be challenging. What does every entrepreneur need when taking the road less traveled? A buddy. You need businessbuddy.org. Businessbuddy.org is your online resource and coaching support, like Business Buddy Happy Hour. 1 hour a month of live coaching with Business Buddy to get all your important business questions answered. Watch compelling training videos with Business Buddy Training. Business Buddy Media Cafe has a podcast every week featuring outstanding guests with a wealth of information, plus so much more in Business Buddy Development and Business Buddy Water Cooler. BusinessBuddy.org inspires, educates, and supports your personal buddy to get you on track and keep you going. Check out BusinessBuddy.org and start your free trial today.
All right, Warren and Margot, it is time for our discovery round questions. 4 questions I'd like to ask of each of my guests, and we're just going to have each of you give a real quick answer to how you feel about each of them. So the first one is, what drives you crazy? Warren, why don't you take that first?
What drives me crazy is the amount of proliferation of negative news.
Awesome. Margot?
Hearing people say no, it can't be done. drives me wild.
Second question is, looking back, Warren, what's something that you can't believe you did for your career?
I can't believe that I went back to school and got certified in all of the things that I ended up being certified in.
Excellent. And Margot?
I used to think that I was risk averse, and when I lost my job, I went into business for myself, and I had to raise capital from outsiders and invest my own capital in a business that I knew nothing about. And I realized that I was not risk averse, and I can't believe that I ever thought I was.
Very cool. So I'm going to ask each of you to share with us a technology or otherwise, that you have found that makes your business or life easier.
Google. Google has been a fantastic. Google Docs and all of the Google services have really made a massive difference in my business.
I'm glad you shared that. It's so obvious. We overlook how brilliant and impactful it is in our lives. I'm glad you shared that. And Margot?
You know, I would say mobile devices. You know, I was madly in love with my BlackBerry. I long for the BlackBerry that once was. I have different mobile devices now, but I'm on the road a lot. So the ability to access my email, my voicemail, communicate with people, and you know, even access Google on the road or in the subway is fantastic.
Awesome. So our last question, which is my favorite, is, imagine you are sitting around a campfire and out of the darkness appears your greatest enemy, which does not have to be a person. What inner warrior inside yourself do you call upon and why? Warren, you're up first.
Holy cow, that's not an easy one. It would be depression, and that I'm sure that could take many different forms, but it would be depression that would be, and what I would bring to it to combat that would be deep trance meditation.
Mm. The worry of trance meditation, love that. Haven't heard that one. And Margot.
I think I would, my first reaction would be fear to something unknown like that, and my internal warrior that I would reach out to would be my ability to understand. So I would seek to understand before I responded.
Fantastic. So Margot and Warren have been super generous, and they have made available a free offer for a 7-day From Free Fall to Freedom mini course. And it also gives a free meditation to help individuals begin using meditation in their lives. So you will find that on our free offers page, which is at creative-warriors.com, where you can not only get Warren and Margot's wonderful offer, but also the offers from all other previous guests. And for those of you that are members of Business Buddy, don't forget to check out the members area for the bonus insights from today's broadcast. So Warren and Margot, I just want to thank you tons for being here. I think you've given our community some really great insights. So thank you for being here.
It was delightful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff. It's been great.
Really my pleasure. So that's it for now, warriors. Let's go out, create, serve, and be prosperous.